Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ripple. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
Good evening.
Hello.
And welcome. Hi, you there, Lee?
I'm here.
Yay.
Yay.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the show this evening. Tonight's topic is how to be a kitchen witch. And I just wanted to let everybody know before we go in that this is the hour where my partner, Lee Ripple, is going to shine because she is a kitchen witch extraordinaire. And I'm just going to sit over here and be quiet and agree with everything she says.
You better not.
No,
she's too good to me.
I never agree with everything. But she is an amazing. She can take a spool of ribbon and an old $5 white cotton dress and a thing of Rit dye and turn it into a beautiful costume. I mean, she's just amazing. You have no idea. So I want to welcome everybody to the show this evening. And Lisa,
yes,
tell us all about kitchen witchery.
Well, let me say this first. This is my take on kitchen witchery. My views, mm-hmm. no way, reflect the views of the radio station, my partner, our host, or anybody else. It's 100% my epiphany that I had earlier in the week. As I told you, Robin, I was. Mm-hmm. We had been talking about what we were going to do on last week's show, and we mm-hmm. had talked a little bit about Thanksgiving and, mm-hmm. you know, what we could incorporate, which, of course, you know, you give me a little ball, and by the time we're done, it's, you know, the biggest ball of twine ever found mm-hmm. in the United States. So I started to look up, what is kitchen witchery?
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is that it's a growing movement within modern paganism, and it's known as kitchen witchery. It's based on the earth religions, you know, the earth mm-hmm. paths, very much like the old burning time witches, the herbalists and the midwives and the women you went to for salves and lotions and all that kind of good stuff. When you think about the kitchen, you think about the hearth, the home, where your guests usually end up hanging out. Everybody knows that feeling of having a party, and everybody ends up in your kitchen, which is why in this day and age, everybody wants that big kitchen with that big center island. they usually set up their appetizers in the kitchen because everybody's going to be there while you're cooking anyway. And
well, I will say that was why I love the house that I'm in now, because the kitchen was so huge.
Absolutely. And you know, half the time when we're at your house, we're all hanging around the kitchen table. A,
Absolutely.
It's a table, which is great. And B, it's where you want to be to get anything that you need.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things that's showing an upswing in the kitchen witchery is the economy these days. More people are doing a lot of cooking from home. More people are taking care of and tending their own homes because people just can't afford to have a cleaning lady. They can't afford to eat out every night. So turning some of your path towards kitchen witchery is also a money-saving thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's where everyone spends most of their time.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, I know there's a few things that I did find out about kitchen witchery which were extremely, not necessarily the way I think, but some of the introductions that I found were that kitchen witchery is part of a natural witchcraft, which is common. It's commonly known as being a hedge witch or cottage witchery, green witchery, garden witchery. All those things are similar to the paths that draw on sacred magic from the earth and from nature.
A lot of those terms, in my mind, come from like a very Celtic, Eastern European, background. Did you find anything out in reference to that? Am I correct in my assumption there, or is that a fallacy?
Absolutely. It goes, well, I would have to say that that's a yes, because even if you look at the witches that weren't really witches in Boston, those poor women that were hanged and burned during the burning times, majority of these women were all from Europe. And they brought these practices of self-healing. Nobody could afford to go to the doctor during the potato famine in Ireland. So you did what you had to do. You found what you needed to find in the woods. You grew what you needed to grow. And this is where most of it started from. The unique thing about kitchen witchcraft is that you can take most people who practice this in earnest can take the simplest of things and make them magical. Which I know that from cooking, from my son being a chef and my daughter being a chef, that it's quite simple to take four or five simple things and turn it into something you had absolutely no idea could be so good. So it's magical just, I mean, cooking is magical anyway. And the other thing that I found out, that this particular brand of witchcraft, in doing what you're doing, you are almost always honoring the goddess, as opposed to, you know, the joint lord and lady that a lot of people do in their ritual paths. However, there was also something in here that I thought was, you know, a little sad. It said that a lot of other traditions look down on kitchen witchery because it's not as ritual. It's more simple in its magic. It's very solitary craft.
Yep, there's this whole disconnect between, you know, people who are very ceremonial magicians, and you know, the high, you know, wizard craft, if you will, and people who consider themselves to be simple hedge witches, or you know, I consider myself to be to be styled after the wise woman that lived on the edge of the village, where people would come and ask for spells and get, you know, healings for, you know, their cuts and bruises and whatnot. And yes, there's quite a haughtiness when it comes to certain types of people who consider themselves to be, you know, I particularly find it coming from the, and I hate to slag them because I'm not, but you know, the ceremonial magicians, sometimes druids will also be in that. Depends on their focus and how they see their magic.
Right.
But
being,
yes, I have experienced that.
The kitchen witch is a more solitary craft, usually self-taught, usually self-initiated, and unless it's passed down through a family where the family all practices together, it's usually preferred by those people who choose it as a path to the coven, or the formal initiation type situation. But in truth, isn't this the most natural form of practicing the craft? It follows, like you said, the tradition of the wise woman who kept their herbal remedies, their things that they created for subtle, you know, they're subtle, and they took it all upon themselves. Mm-hmm. They're very ancient, and it's a very primeval power, is what I'm finding throughout all the websites that I was checking into. The other thing that I found really interesting when I started looking at all of this was that I had never been one to put a name on my path. I always said I was eclectic, which I am eclectic, but I never thought I was, I never saw myself as being coven-oriented or ceremonial. I'm very people-oriented, and I love being in groups, but as far as the whole big hoopla ritual with all the stuff, I found that to be not really my thing. And instead of finding what my thing was, I used to think that, well, you know, maybe I'm just trying too hard, or maybe I really don't have it in me. You know, I think I used the term with you, I'm not a real witch.
And I have told you this for years.
Well, exactly.
That you were a real witch and that you just had your own style. And
right.
I can't believe you didn't know that you were a kitchen witch until this week.
You know what? I don't know why either. But the truth of the matter is that all the things I had been doing all these years, they talk about having an altar in your kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here and I'm reading all this stuff and I'm looking at my kitchen and I'm like, well, shoot, I have all my herbs drying over my kitchen window. Mm-hmm. I have my Baba Yaga, my kitchen witch, hanging in the window. Mm-hmm. I have a witch ball hanging in the window.
Mm-hmm.
I have candles in my kitchen. I have all my spices and stuff laid out in full view. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading through this, and I'm like, usually she has an altar with symbols of sustenance and the goddess, with charms and food. And I'm thinking to myself, and then there's like the one jar on the counter that has all the tools that I like to use that nobody else uses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, this is exactly what's going on. And then it talks about altars in your home. And I just got up and I just started walking around my house. And I realized, oh, well, there's one right there that I didn't even think of as that. And there's one over there that I didn't even think that was one. And just because I didn't have them on a table with a cloth and, you know, my big brother labeler with my label on it going, here's my salt dish and here's my water dish. They're all there. And it just came through me regardless of what I was thinking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to say to some of our listeners, look around your house. Those of you who aren't sure what your path is, maybe look around your house. See what you have. And we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to call in and ask a question about the stuff that I've found, or if you'd like to tell me about something that you've done, or us, I should say us, I'm sorry, the number is 646-564-9714. And just remember to hit the one so we know that you want to make a comment, ask a question, just say hi.
I was going to do that, and I was just waiting for you to take a breath.
That's all right. What happened was my computer screen went away because I was so busy talking that when I hit the button, it was like, bing, don't forget to do that. But yes, now the thing that I thought was really, really humorous, and you and I have talked about this, it says here, the art of the kitchen witch has very little written about it because it's a traditional form that women pass down from mother to daughter. However, there are some aspects of the kitchen witch that are prevalent in most people. Magical cooking, whether it be good cooking or, you know, your kids don't feel good, you make them chicken soup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can run the gambit of just, think about this. What do they talk about in some of the restaurants, you know, especially American restaurants? We serve down-home comfort food.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that comes from? Mm-hmm. That comes from people cooking to make themselves feel better. And when it does make you feel better, isn't that just as good as doing a spell to relieve tension or to relieve stress? Mm-hmm. So magical cooking, I checked that one off the list. Then it said honoring the goddess and god, the goddess, and keeping your kitchen altar and or your goddess shrine. I went, oh, I have one of those. Simple natural magic, such as weather lore or ribbon magic or divination or candle magic. I have a spoon in my kitchen that I got from my mom. It's an old wooden spoon. It still has the ribbon on it that it was hanging from the store where she bought it. She never took it off, and so I've never mm-hmm. taken it off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, honoring nature, which I think all paths do, creating mm-hmm. and maintaining a garden, a magical garden. I have a regular garden and a magical garden.
Mm-hmm.
Attuning to the cycle of nature. Well, don't you do that when you cook? Because you buy whatever's available mm-hmm. at that mm-hmm. time, fresh, so it's going to be yeah. what's available in nature at that time. And then came the clincher. Being adept in arts and crafts, including traditional and dyeing crafts. Well, mm-hmm. anyone who ever came to a MPA Beltane, anybody who came to Woven Roots Festival last year,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, what do you think we did? We tie-dyed in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
How many people can tie-dye in the woods? So I just took that list and I just said, well, oh my goodness. And then I started calling everyone I knew, and everyone I knew was busy. And I was so sad that I actually ended up talking to Amy Tolomeo, who we spoke to during the bash, from South Jersey Pagan Pride. And I said, do you have a minute? Because I had an epiphany and nobody's around. And she was like, duh. So I was extremely excited. Then, of course, I got a hold of you and I said, we're going to do a whole class, a whole thing on this. And you were like, mm-hmm. well, duh. And here we are. They also talk about, for those people who are thinking maybe they might be a kitchen witch, they had a list here of goddesses. Now, this, of course, is completely up to you, because as you and I have discussed, just because Diana is a warrior goddess, so would a kitchen witch be about her family.
Mm-hmm.
So even though they talk about goddesses of hearth and home, like Bridget, they also talk about the fire goddesses, which is also Bridget or Freya mm-hmm. or Sekhmet mm-hmm. or Pele in
Sekhmet.
Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about fertility goddesses.
Mm-hmm.
So creativity goddesses, also Freya and Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different kitchen witches. But then we went through, I went through the part of this that just went, ew, and that was where it said, I find joy in cleaning my house. And I got to be honest with you, I find no joy. I tried today, just because I was in the whole mode, and I was thinking about mm-hmm. the show, so I whipped out the vacuum, and about halfway through I said, you know what, no joy here. I tried putting on some music, and it did help, because I did kind of dance around and sing, but I still hated every minute of cleaning my house.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I got to work on that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, no, because
I hate
housecraft. There's no joy in vacuuming. Sorry.
Is it like the nun who, you know, she's taking her vows and she just can't wrap her head around that one thing? You know, do I have to give it all up because I don't find joy in household activities?
No.
Okay, good. Then I'm just going to stay right here on my little path.
You can. You absolutely
all right, good.
Can. Oops. That's
go
a
ahead.
Drink. We both said it at the same time.
Throw me a Coke.
One of the things I was going to ask you, you know, here we are, we're coming into the Thanksgiving holidays and the Christmas holidays. So as an kitchen witch and somebody who's been a really experienced kitchen witch, even if you didn't have a label up until this week, what advice can you give to those of us who might not be quite so kitchen witchy to keep it organized, keep it together, put a lot of love into our food for our family, and keep the mother-in-law out of the kitchen, you know, like tasting your food and telling you it needs more whatever. They're driving you insane. I remember one year I was in the kitchen and I'm trying to open a bottle of wine, cook the stuffing, make sure that the pie that I had in the oven wasn't going to burn, like all these things. And she's in there and she is picking stuff and she's touching stuff and telling me that I wasn't opening the bottle of wine the right way. I mean, it was just all
and
I wanted to do
to
was tell her.
And it's enough to give you no confidence. You immediately
right, yeah,
become,
and all I wanted to say to her was, get the hell out of the kitchen, you know, which you can't do because it's your mother-in-law. You know?
Very true, very true. Well, there's a couple of things that they talk that I have found, both personally and that I saw here on my studies. And the one thing that I have done, and I know you've seen me do it,
mm-hmm.
is make a list. And it's so simple, okay? I have a list going right now. It's actually in my phone, which I don't have with me. It is a list of everything that I'm making. And then it's what temperature it cooks at and how long it has to cook.
Mm-hmm.
What can I cook the night before when my mother-in-law isn't here, when the kids aren't here running around with their kids, because I'm a grandma, mm-hmm. and I found that there were several things that can be done the night before that can then become hold warm the following day. And you can't cook your, you know, if you really want your turkey to stay dry and juicy, you can't cook it the night before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In truth, you know what? I know Ina Garten, this season has said yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you want to get an injector and all this fancy equipment and do all that crazy stuff. But I like the way my house smells when people come in and the turkey's been mm-hmm. roasting for those 4 hours.
Yeah, and you know what I have found that I really love doing? And my grandmother used to do this, and when I grew up, I got away from doing it, and I've gone back to it over the last, like, 5 or 7 years, lifting the skin and putting herbed butter under the
mm-hmm.
skin on top to keep the breast from drying out.
Absolutely.
And it's funny how you go back to those things.
Absolutely, because
after,
they worked.
Yeah, because
it worked.
I have
another little hint that I just saw that is really, mm-hmm. really amazing. The safest way to defrost your turkey is in the fridge, of course. I would never tell anyone to put their turkey on the counter for a week.
Yeah,
I know there
not
are
a week,
serve
but
safe
2 days.
Ways of doing things. I don't want anybody getting sick. Right before you're going to put your turkey in the oven, maybe a half an hour or so before, you take a Ziploc bag and you bag up ice. And while you're cutting up the stuff that's going underneath the turkey, you know, whether you do root vegetables,
mm-hmm.
whether you stick the orange in with the clove or whatever you're
mm-hmm.
doing, you take this bag of ice and you lay it across the top of your turkey, the breast of your turkey. It brings that temperature down to cold.
Hmm.
So when you put it in the oven, it gives the rest of the bird that isn't cold a head start.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't end up having to leave your turkey in the oven for the extra time for the dark meat and then have all your white meat dry out.
Hmm, interesting.
Because you know it takes longer to take something out of the refrigerator and cook it than it does if it's room temperature. So if you leave the rest of the bird room temperature, but you just chill that top of your bird, it will cook slower.
Yeah. My grandmother used to cut the legs off towards the end. And
a lot of people do that as well. You're going
to
carve it anyway. And as long as you're not the kind of family that needs to present and have, you know, the head hierarchy of the family carve the bird,
mm-hmm.
which, to be perfectly honest with you, I can't deal with that whole thing. I cut it up, platter it, and bring it out, and it's gone. I cook for 6 hours between what I do the night before and what I do in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and the food is gone in 30 minutes. It's very
sad.
Yeah,
I know. Isn't it depressing? Yeah.
It's so depressing. But that's a really important thing, is getting some stuff done the night before. I know earlier on we were talking, you and I were talking with Terry about green bean casserole. I don't know too many people who don't make the standard green bean, fried onion, mushroom soup, green bean casserole. Usually everybody loves it. I know if I'm invited somewhere for Thanksgiving, they ask me to make that. One of the funny things was I found out that it's great for purification, banishing, divination, creativity, and health. I'm sure that's if you use, you know, fresh green beans and not canned, which
and
you can do.
Cream mushroom soup.
Well, okay, you can make your own mushroom soup. I've done that too. So, you know, keep it in little containers in the freezer and you take it out when you need to use it. So you can make it all non-GMO and wellness, like you go. We can make it wellness and still make it green bean casserole. But you can actually make that the night before because the flavors will just blend all the more when you put it in the oven for that, you know, 30-minute warm-up. I don't make my stuffing in the bird. I know it goes back to the whole salmonella thing. It makes the bird take longer to cook. The juices go into the stuffing. They don't go back in the bird. So I make my stuffing the night before, and then I put that in the oven. So when the bird comes out, everything else goes back in, and we're about an hour out. There's nothing for her to pick at. There's nothing for her to comment on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I still stuff the bird. I cannot get away from that. There's just something about the stuffing when it's cooked in the bird that just tastes so much better to me.
Well,
I can't
you know
do
what
that
I do?
Outside the...
How I get away with that? Okay, so you cook your turkey, right? You take your turkey out. All your drippings are in the bottom. I take one of those little ball sucker things. Mm-hmm. Notice what a kitchen witch I am. I don't even know what the name of the ball sucker thing is. I take the juice out of the bottom of the pan, and I drizzle it over my stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
I.e., the drippings are now in my stuffing, but I don't have it sitting in the bird. Now the bird is doing its 30-minute rest time, and now the stuffing's baking in the oven. It works for me. It's not for everybody, but this is how I keep people out of my kitchen. Not only that, I have a small kitchen. They don't fit, so that helps. But there's things you can do while you're preparing the food in general. Let's say you're doing an appetizer, the one you're I did a tasting menu as an appetizer, two or three things, and I made a soup. And I had to go back and make something this week so that I could see if this was true. But I stir my recipes, I stir my stuff clockwise, like a circle,
always.
Like when you're casting a circle.
Mm-hmm.
I very rarely go Windischen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a calming, and you're imbibing that calm into the food that you're making. So when you turn around and they all start piling in and mom wants to know what she can do to help, yes, here, why don't you take these little soups or this dip or this whatever it is that you made and see if anybody needs wine. They're all out there and they're all calm, cool, and collected because that's what you put in to your food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that absolutely, absolutely helps.
We're at
10:26.
Yeah, well, my computer says 10:27, ha-ha.
Okay.
But, yeah, we should be probably thinking about taking a break soon. And I have a message here that we have a song coming up called Hot Crone Chant.
Oh, that's me. I'm
Murphy's
a hot crone.
Midnight. Yeah, you are a hot crone.
No, I'm not.
yes, you are.
Although anybody who is a member of our Woven Roots Facebook page, there are some pictures from the bash out there, and there is a mighty good picture of me out there, I will say, with my, my perfect purple little fascinator on my head.
Yes,
so,
you look adorable.
It was a cute picture, I have to admit. I have a neck.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited. Yes, I'm sorry. Hot Crone Chant by Murphy's Midnight Rounders.
Yes.
Not to be confused with those Midnight Runners from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Or Riders.
Dexy. Come on, Irene.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, Irene. Yeah, I remember.
Come on, Irene. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to the song.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. Bye. For the moment.
For the moment.
I'm going down in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
I'm gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
I'm going down Don't you worry and don't you moan.
I'm gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crumbs are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
I'm gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
Gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
I'm gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
I'm gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
Gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
Gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
Gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
Going down
in the cauldron. Don't you worry and don't you moan.
Gonna
lay me down in darkness in the cauldron. Crones are calling, gonna be reborn.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be. You're listening to Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to Robin and Lisa.
Hello, we're back. Lee, you with me?
I'm with you. I don't know what happened there for a minute, but that threw me away.
That's okay. I'm just glad you can't. You made it back because I'm thinking to myself, my God, what am I going to do if she can't come back? I don't know any of this crap. No.
Well, okay, so we were talking about things you can do to keep things calm or keep your mother-in-law out of the kitchen. And what I wanted to hit us up with real quick is there were a couple of things that I noticed when I was investigating this that are simple things that one can do. You're thinking, oh, you know, how am I going to, like, do a spell making a tuna fish sandwich. You can, you know, most people add mayo or they add something, you know, a condiment of some kind to their sandwich. You can actually, like, let's say your kid doesn't feel good. You could do a health rune in the mayonnaise. You can do a pentacle in your mustard.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of ways that you can imbibe magic into food without having to go through a big ritualistic process that's just as good as anything else.
When I'm cooking, I tend to just hold an intention and focus it into the food no matter what I'm making, whether it's tuna salad, chicken soup, a meatloaf, doesn't matter.
Absolutely. Kitchen meditations. Think about all the good stuff. And I've made things that I wasn't sure how they were going to turn out, but as I'm making it, I'm just like, oh, please be good. Oh, please be good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's never really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're not trying to poison anybody. I wonder what would happen if we did do that. Ooh. That would be terrible.
I had a bumper crop of belladonna grow in my yard last year.
Remember when we got some where we did your classes? I
mm-hmm.
still have that dried in a jar in the back of the cabinet with a sign on it that says, kids, don't eat this. well, my kids were little back then. So, also,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of herbs out there that I've used over the years. When my youngest, who's 21 almost now, when he was little and when my daughter, who's 24, was little, they were colicky. And, you know, I bought the required bubblegum pink medicine that the doctor wanted me to put in their baby bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the label. And the
it's
stuff
belladonna.
That's in that is what's in Dawn dishwashing detergent to cut through grease.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, do I want to put this in my child's baby bottle? Yeah, you know, it took the gas away, but what
mm-hmm.
is it doing to their insides? I found out if you boil the water that you use to make their bottles with fennel,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. It did the same thing, and they liked it a whole
mm-hmm.
lot better.
Well, yeah, fennel is a digestive. It's chewed. The seed of fennel is chewed in other countries, particularly the Middle East and India, to settle the stomach after almost every meal.
Well, it worked wonders. They like to drink the water all by itself because it tastes like licorice.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
They loved that. There was also when Sammy was about 9, she was unfortunately blessed with my migraine headaches. Well,
mm-hmm.
a little lavender essential oil on a cool dish rag. And, of course,
mm-hmm.
I did give her a baby aspirin because I'm not opposed to regular medicine.
Right.
And you
mm-hmm.
know what? She didn't vomit. She didn't cry. And in 20
mm-hmm.
minutes, she was back to being a great kid. So I started doing
yeah.
it for myself. And that's still, to this day, the way I treat my migraine headaches.
Yeah, it's amazing how well lavender works for most migraine headaches and how, you know, I recommend it to people all the time and they just look at me like, it's a migraine, I need to take Furoset or something.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, well, when the doctor said he was going to put her on Furoset at 9 years old, I was like, no, this isn't going to happen. And I think
mm-hmm.
I actually called you and you suggested the lavender.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I know from when my kids were little was, you know, sometimes babies get diarrhea. Okay,
mm-hmm.
it's a horrible thing. It can be extremely dangerous for babies.
Yeah.
Barley.
Mm-hmm.
Put barley in their water and use that water for their baby bottles. And
mm-hmm.
lo and behold, they don't have diarrhea anymore.
Yep.
And,
that's
you know,
true.
When I looked back on all this, Robin, I thought to myself, wow, you know what? I've come a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you have.
I really have. Not to toot my own horn at all, but you also, there was one here about divination in the kitchen. And we did a kitchen witch divination just the other night.
Mm-hmm.
The back of a spoon.
That's right.
And we touched on tea leaves. Now, I know you've done
mm-hmm.
tea leaves. I've never done tea leaves. How do you go about doing something like that?
Well, the tea leaves are, you know, you drink your cup of tea, and it's not so common these days anymore to have little bits of actual leaves in the bottom unless you use loose tea in a strainer
right.
and the little pieces get through the strainer. Used to be years ago we didn't have tea bags, you know, with the fine mesh. Or if you were to, you know, break the tea bag a little bit, sometimes if you leave it soak in your tea too long, the mesh will, you know, crack open and leave tea
sure.
leaves in the bottom.
Sure.
So really it's just like any other divination. You're going to maybe swirl the cup a little bit and leave that last little half a sip in the bottom of the cup, and you're going to swirl it a little bit around and look at the patterns. Look at what you see in the leaves. What is it telling you? What does it make you think of? And just take your time and concentrate.
It's very perception-oriented.
Yes. Well, yeah. Okay. I mean, all divination, when you think about it, is about perception and what you're going to see. And this is one of those things where I don't like to do that type of divination so much for myself as much as I'd like to do it for others. And when I do that type of divination for others, and this is pretty much across the board, I would much rather do it for somebody that I know very little about. Very difficult.
I agree.
To do divination for people you know well, because you get into this whole forebrain thing where you have opinions about their life and things that they should do. Whereas if you don't know anybody and it's dead cold, you have no preformed opinions about their situation.
Right.
So when you're reading, you're channeling whatever the perception is, whatever the God's messages are that they're telling you, because you can quiet that forebrain, and now it's all about that intuitive brain. And it's way more effective to divine for people you don't know.
I agree.
And I think just about every good reader will tell you the same thing.
Very true, very true. One of the last things that I had here was something that I thought, in this day and age, we were talking about the economy and how more people are cooking at home. One of the really easy things is to use food as a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
For a good example of that is eggs. Eggs can be used for fertility, of course. So if somebody is trying to get pregnant, if somebody's or something completely different, hatching a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
They're very good representation for the incubation of that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And deviled eggs are popular. Again, I know they were an old 70s thing, you know, the wedge salad and the deviled eggs. They're making a comeback. They're doing them cuter or different, adding a little spicy to it, so the really deviled eggs. Those two could be... what?
I said still gross. I still don't like them.
You don't like deviled eggs? Oh, I love deviled eggs.
I do not like hard-boiled eggs in any form, way, or shape.
Well, you can have yours scrambled if you like.
Scrambled is fine. I'll even do a soft-boiled egg. I do not care for hard-boiled egg. Don't know why.
Huh. Well, you don't have to add them. But if somebody was trying to, like, just let's say you did like them. You're hatching this business idea. You want to branch out your Albright Wellness. Eggs is a great way to bring some magical into that cooking process and hopefully get some of those bright ideas. You know, the things that come to you when you just sort of let your mind wander.
Right.
It doesn't have to be formal. It doesn't have to be... It just has to have the intent. You know, walnuts, too. I remember I did a spell early on for my brother with a walnut. Nuts are great for stuff like that because they're seeds. You know, so, and then I went through and I looked at all the things that I make for Thanksgiving, and I looked at all the different correspondences, because there are, I found 7 different websites that'll give you a correspondence of food for something you're looking to bring into your life. Abundance, love, health, all those kind of things. And there are thousands of different options. Breaking bad habits, chives and lemon are great for breaking bad habits. Addiction, almonds, chives and lemons. What was one of the really good ones I found? Well, see, some of them are so obvious. Friendship, rose petals, right? This I thought was really interesting, because you know how I was adamant about adding asparagus root vegetables that we were doing for the bash. Guess what they're good for? Grounding.
Oh, there you go.
This is why I was not a friggin' mess by the time you got to my house. Because I had actually grounded without even knowing it.
Right.
So I can't say enough that if you're really interested in looking up kitchen magic, looking up, you know, food magic, whether or not you have any of these aspects to you. The internet is full of books. There's several books. There were two books by Trish Telesco, who I know we mm-hmm. have met, The Kitchen Witch's Guide to Brews and Potions and A Kitchen Witch's Cookbook. And I downloaded several of them on my Kindle, and they were like 99 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can find a lot of things. There's books by Beth Brown, books by Kate West, tons and tons of information out there. If it's something that you want to look into, you can mix it with candle magic. You can mix it with herb magic. You can mix it with, if you're so inclined, you can mix it with sex magic. It's definitely something that can cover broad spectrums. I know Reverend Connie in the chat room just said that Kate West's books are great. She wrote The Real Witch's Kitchen, Spells, Recipes, Oils, Lotions, and Potions from the Witch's Hearth. That's the next one I'm going to get. Since somebody actually said they're great, that's going to be my next one I'm going to look for.
Oh, good.
So I have to say, this was an amazing journey for me this week.
I know. I'm so happy for you because
I'm happy
I feel
for
like
me.
You. Yeah, I feel like, you know, the conversation we had earlier this week where you called me up and you were like, oh my God, I know what I am now.
I know.
I feel
it was, and everybody else knew. Everybody else was looking at me going, you didn't know that? But sometimes you got to find it out for yourself.
This is very true. This is very true. I couldn't believe that you didn't know that about yourself. I just always kind of took it for granted.
Well, you know,
that's always been my sort of, you know, tradition is, you know, the simple, one of the things that, you know, I always teach and always argue with people who get all like, oh, well, I have to have a black-handled knife and I have to have a white-handled knife and I have to have this bowl for that and I have to, like, really? You think the lady on the edge of the forest had
wood,
more
had
than
a white-handled
knife?
Bowline?
Yeah, she had one knife, she had one pot. That's why cauldrons are so big, because you used it for everything from making soap to making
yep.
dinner. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's just stop there because I could go for 20 minutes on that topic.
We have about that much left. You could go ahead. Actually, too, I was, after reading through all of this, I read, I don't know if anybody out there does a lot of fiction reading, but
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite authors is Kim Harrison, and she writes a series called the Rachel Morgan series, and it's got vampires and werewolves and witches and all this kind of stuff. But she is an earth witch, and her kitchen is completely set up. And she does have pots for her spells versus pots for her
mm-hmm.
food.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't clean your wares well and you're doing a spell for something that might be a little more on the grayer side,
mm-hmm.
you might not want to have necessarily, you're cooking the dinner for the, you know, guy you love in that pot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know that in the early times you didn't have that, but if at all possible, they do recommend in all the websites that I went to that at least if you're going to be doing things that are protection-oriented or banishing-oriented, maybe you want to keep them in their own space so nothing mm-hmm. gets muddled. But I was looking at this one thing I just found in the bottom of my pile. And it had the meal planning basics. And the funniest
mm-hmm.
thing was, it's exactly what we had just talked about with Thanksgiving, make lists.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than getting up on Thanksgiving morning and you're ready to start putting something together and you realize you forgot the butter or you forgot the mushrooms and nobody's open anymore because now everybody's vying to be the store that's closed and loves their employees. And if you have to go to Wawa, I don't know if there's Wawa's where you live, but it's like a Quick Check or a Krauser's or a 7-Eleven, depending on where you live, you're going to pay a whole lot of money for butter on Thanksgiving
yeah.
morning.
Yeah.
So make the list. Better to have too many than to not
mm-hmm.
have what you need that morning.
I am so anal that before Thanksgiving, I always go out and make sure I have at least one or two of the big cans of turkey stock. Because it
oh,
has
yes.
happened to me where you buy a turkey and it makes no juice in the bottom of the pan and now you have no gravy.
Yes. Is that
and,
the worst?
I
And you can
let me,
only
let me
find
tell,
turkey stock right before
yes.
Thanksgiving.
Yes. And let me tell you, there's this Basics Kitchen stock that is delicious, and it's not as expensive as, say, like Emeril's stock. And stock is not to be confused with broth. Stock is more intense. But let me also just make a point here about choosing your turkey. This is something my grandmother taught me. And when I don't follow it, I regret it. Look for turkeys that have a low, broad breast, not a high, in the middle, ridge breast, because those are tom turkeys, and they have more muscle than fat, and they will not produce as much gravy juice from the fat
the flat ones.
As the low, broad, flatter breast of the turkey, because those are girls, and they have more fat content, and they will taste better, and they will be moister.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the third level secret.
There you go. The other
third
thing
level
too,
secret
I have
of how to
done
choose a good turkey
is I have put. I find that if you put the veggies in the bottom of the pan. And you've got, like, I cook a 22-pound turkey because I have 14 people.
Mm-hmm.
If you put all the veggies in the bottom, your root veggies or whatever it is you do in the bottom of your pan, they're going to start to burn.
Yeah.
I always put about a cup of the turkey broth right in there because it's going to simmer up and it's going to flavor everything as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you a head start. And
see,
you touched on it before.
I don't do that so much.
No, I mean putting the butter under the
skin. Oh, under the skin, yeah. If you're going to put liquid in the bottom of the pan, you have to put butter under the skin or it won't crisp.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can get way under there without damaging anything. I also have, I do have one of those injection devices because I make a regular turkey because God help my mother if I don't.
You're not doing in vitro at home, are you?
What?
Nothing, never mind.
Oh, okay. You're just
visual
doing
of you in the
okay.
kitchen with an in vitro, you know.
Oh, yeah,
like
a giant injector. No, but, okay, I live in Cranberry Country, okay? And a couple of years ago, we went to the Cranberry Festival out here in Chatsworth, which is, if you're ever in New Jersey during the Cranberry Festival, you have to go. It's amazing. They had a cranberry hot sauce, which I thought, but I tried it, and it was crazy good. So what I did was I now also buy a turkey breast, and I inject it with cranberry hot sauce. It's so good.
That sounds very dirty.
It's a hot turkey. It's a devil turkey. It's my fire portion of the elements for the evening.
Okay, so you're going to send me the recipe for the hot cranberry sauce, right?
Oh, I buy it in a jar.
No. You have to. Who makes it?
The people at the Cranberry Festival in New Jersey.
Oh.
They
well,
make
sucks.
It.
I'm not in New Jersey.
Well, I know that, but it doesn't mean I can't get you some next year. What I'll do is I'll look at the website on the jar for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy good, and it makes your turkey like this deep red color, like my hair used to be before I became a crone.
Okay.
You know, that deep, whiny red color.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hot. Like, it's not like you're eating buffalo wings or anything because it's very sweet because of the cranberries and stuff. But it's really good. My daughter-in-law loves it.
I am going to have to try and create that at home. It can't be hard. A little
cayenne
pepper.
Can.
Yeah. Cayenne.
It's definitely the red peppers, the cranberries.
Orange.
And it's,
now, is it cranberry sauce with the whole cranberries in it, or are they just making it with the jelly?
Guess what?
What?
I'm going to walk through my house because I can do that.
Inquiring minds need to know.
I know, right? I can't just throw something out there like that and not fill you in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hopefully nobody stole it on me. It is called...
While you're...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one last plug for the state of New Jersey, my former state, blueberries. There is no place in the United States that grows blueberries that taste as good as the ones that come from Hamilton, New Jersey. I'm telling you.
We have a huge festival here at Weiss Bog Historic Village, the Blueberry
Festival.
You know
that the Weiss supermarket where I live in the Williamsport, Pennsylvania area sells those blueberries from Hamilton, New Jersey. And when they do, I buy tons of them because they are the best.
And not only that, but most of the 90% or 75% of the cranberries in Ocean Spray cranberry juice come from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, so I have this in front of me. It's called Miller's Cranberry Hot Sauce, and it has used for grilling, blah, blah, blah. Okay, some vinegar, tomato concentrate, hot peppers, olive oil, canola oil, dried cranberries, and then it gets into that fructose stuff. Salt, that's, molasses.
We will leave that out.
Right. Salt, molasses, spices, onion powder. That's all that's in this. It's, it's got whole cranberries in it. I see them. You can see the white flecks from the hot peppers. And
well, Connie's got the website for it already.
Does
in the
okay.
chat room. She's awesome.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. It has, it's about the consistency, I would say, of a thick salsa. But it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. And it really does just a little kick. You know, if you're looking for something a little different for a change, you know, maybe your family doesn't love turkey. I know my husband, it's not his favorite. But you do something like this, you give it a little pizzazz. You can put it under the skin. You can put it over the skin. You can baste with it. You can put, you know, reserve some and use it at the table. And
this,
to
this
be very honest
whole...
with you, it's awesome with tortilla chips.
Oh, wow. Sounds good, yeah. This whole spicy cranberry thing has just rocked my coming Thanksgiving, so thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I'm looking
so
for something
glad.
Different this year. So every year I plan one thing different. So
there you go. This will be something new. Okay, we need to take a little break, a little quick break. We have to run
if
some
you say
business,
so.
And then we're going to come back.
Okay, sounds good.
To wrap it up. All right, sounds good.
You are listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, where we believe that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. We broadcast live at www.blogtalkradio.com/SURN 7 nights a week, beginning at 10 p.m. Eastern, with a variety of programming. On Wednesday night, we also have a show beginning at 11 p.m. Eastern. If you miss our live broadcast, please listen to our shows in archive. The archive shows are available at www.blogtalkradio.com/SURN or as a free download on iTunes. For more information on our network, click over to www.spiritualunityradionetwork.org for host bios and show lineup. Be sure to follow our show here at Blog Talk Radio and also follow us on Twitter at SURN_ORG to get reminders of all our shows. The email address for the network where you may send all your moans, groans, gripes, bitches, complaints, or compliments is SURN.ORG@gmail.com. If you would like to send email to any of our hosts or guests, you can send it to that address. On Thursday nights, Terry and Onyx answer questions from you, our listeners. If you have any question that you would like for them to talk about, please send it to the network email address, surn.org@gmail.com, putting in your subject line, Shady Tree Questions. We would like to thank you for your continued support. You had a choice, and you chose to spend time with us.
All right.
Hey.
I think we're done with the business. Yay.
For the moment.
So, yes, I know that the sauce is $8 a bottle. And I know that shipping probably stinks. But I will say that I usually buy a lot of it at one time, which sort of brings the shipping down per bottle. But if you can make it, that would be great.
Oh, I already have all kinds of ideas. I make this incredible for Yule. I make this incredible sort of orange marmalade curry ginger stuff that I give people in jars that they can put on chicken. They can use it on jam. You know, they could do whatever they want with it.
Right.
I think I actually gave Roseanne a jar a few years ago. And it's one of my favorite things to give people for Yule because it's hot and it's spicy and it's sunny. And
yeah, this on here it also says, which I'm thinking your dip sounds like it would be great. It says you pour it over cream cheese and serve it with tortilla chips or do it on wings or chicken.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really think that this could be really good. And then you'll have to give me your recipe for that one because that sounds really good too.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe I'll post both of those so that people can make them as gifts for Yule because I think they'd both be a great Yule gift. I mean, if I get a jar of that and from somebody – I'd be happy. So
there you go.
Yeah, that's, yeah. I always give, well, you know, I always give foodie gifts at Christmas because I have no money.
Well, yeah, exactly. Neither do we all. I mean, right. My son just sat down, and I know I can say this because none of his family members are on here. He made ornaments for everybody. We had a crafting weekend. My
mm-hmm.
husband made some stuff, and I did some stuff for the upcoming Yule Bazaar that South Jersey Pagan Pride is doing in Maple Shade. And
mm-hmm.
We just had a giant crafting weekend. We all sat around the table crafting together. And this is all while I'm investigating all of this, you know, home and hearth and kitchen witch. And I'm just sitting here, and I have the biggest smile on my face, and they all thought I'd lost my mind.
Well, yeah.
What are you going to do? Well,
mm-hmm.
I hope we helped some people. I hope
mm-hmm.
they found it interesting because I certainly got a lot out
yeah.
of it.
Oh, well, yeah, me too.
We're approaching
I appreciate
11.
All the hard work that you did this week.
Oh,
because,
please. It was a joy.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you, you know, the show did something positive for you. You through just deciding to research some things and look, you found your you finally found your spiritual path, your spiritual home. I'm so happy for you.
I did, and it's
yeah.
I said to you earlier in the week, I said I really think cronehood is really working in my favor. You know, I used to laugh because Marcy used to say all the time that she was kicking and screaming and fighting her cronehood,
mm-hmm.
and or no, she yes, she used to and I used to say I don't even look in that direction. And I'm actually, ever since my granddaughter came, I'm really embracing it, and I think this is my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy for that.
Yeah, good.
Now I can be your mom for a while.
Well, yeah, that's good. I need one.
I'll pick you up instead of you having to pick me up all the time.
Hey, it works for me. I haven't quite hit the cronehood. I thought
you have
I was
a young
going
one
there,
to keep
and then all
young.
Of a sudden the body decided to, you know, take three steps back. So, I don't
good.
Know. Yeah.
Oh,
but.
Thank you, Niv. I am. I am embracing it. I am embracing my cronehood.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no kicking and fighting, croneship. You embrace it and then run like hell. Well, I hope
oh.
you all had a good time tonight because I know I sure did.
Yes, yeah. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm
and if
so
anybody
thrilled.
Wants any of my personal recipes or anything, please feel free to look me up on Facebook at the Spiritual, what is it called again? Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I'd be more than happy to pass along any of the tips I have because I know I can talk fast sometimes. and go out to some of those websites. I'm going to get the websites to our engineer, and hopefully he'll be able to post them. But all I typed in was kitchen witchery, and my computer blew up. So
no,
it's great. There's so much out there for anybody who wants to know what kind of foods to use. There's so much stuff. There's foods you can use if you're having pains and aches and headaches and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. So.
Yeah, well, you know, I sent all that stuff that you sent me, the papers and stuff, I sent it to Terry. Maybe we can get it up on the station website if people want to look at it or download it.
Oh,
or if you, as
absolutely.
Long as you don't mind.
Pass that file along because everything that I hit on came from there. There's some stuff that I didn't go into big detail about, like, you know, avocados for beauty and
mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing. And there's several recipes in there. If you've never done Thanksgiving before and you're looking for a recipe, I mean – these people who posted on these websites were really, like, just amazing in what they put out on the website. There's an actual recipe for Swiss chard stuffed sweet potatoes. Now, you know me.
Ooh.
I don't eat Swiss chard, but you might.
Oh, it sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. I just want to just shift the subject before everybody starts to skitter away here this evening. Next Thursday, where would that come from? Next Friday, the 21st, our special guest is going to be Ivo Dominguez. And we're going to be talking about Between the Worlds, the festival that's happening in March, and the community down in the Washington, D.C. area, and how they have worked to knit two very different organizations together to create a joint venture. And I'm you know me, we are all about community. Personally, you and I, Lee, but also the station is all about community and bringing mm-hmm. traditions together. So I think it's really going to be a great show, and I'm so thrilled. Ivo is an old friend. He used to come
They do the new Alexandrian Library,
yes,
don't
the
they?
Yes, the Alexandrian Library is their pet project, and that is moving along. We'll talk to him about it next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thrilled that he's coming. He used to come and do, remember, they used to come and teach and do workshops and rituals and stuff at our old Beltane event that we did
for
the MPA. So we've known them for years, Ivo and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just really thrilled at the people coming out to support us. Some of the other cool shows that are coming up as well, I did a lot of thinking about this over the last few days. We also are going to be having on December 5th Gina Vasquez, who does something called body coding, and I'm fascinated by this. She basically evaluates you and can tell you by coding your body what emotional problems you have and what illnesses they're going to cause and how to cure them. So this should be an interesting show. And then the one I'm probably looking forward to the most on December 12th is going to be Owl. My coven elder, who has been a constant mentor in my life and has given me so much in my life. And even though we may, you know, over the last few years, we've grown apart a little bit and she's kind of doing her thing and I'm doing my thing, I'm still thrilled to have her on the show. That's going to be 12-12, December 12th, the magical numbers there. And
I'm looking forward to that one.
I am so looking forward to that. And then we're going to have Utu, Witch Doctor, on the 19th of December.
Mm.
And he's part of the Dragon Drummers. Also, he practices a tradition of Ifa, which is like an African precursor to voodoo or voodan. And he's a really interesting character. I'm so looking forward to talking to him and learning so much about his traditions. So we have lots of interesting shows coming up. So you guys come on back every week, and we will endeavor to broaden everybody's horizons. I'm truly looking forward to it.
Absolutely, as am I.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I say thank you to my elder in my spiritual path, Miss Robin.
You're welcome.
And thanks to everybody for listening to my montage of information. I had fun. I was so nervous, but now I'm good.
Do you feel more relaxed now?
I feel great. I could do it for like another 45 minutes, but my house is about to explode with people.
Aha, uh-huh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I have an impatient man who's been waiting all week to see me, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what I say. Blessed be.
Mm-hmm. Blessed be. Thank you. And everybody have a great night, and thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again next Friday.
Night.
Night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.